folks. Get Out the Room is back. Get Out the Room, episode 87. Super long hiatus due to really terrible, fucked up work schedule, great family vacation. What else, Scott? What is it? What else?
Just work and play, man. It's been a busy fall. Let's put it that way. Busy work, beginning of the fall.
Work and play.
Let's put it this way. It's so busy. Get Out the Room. We missed October.
We did. We missed the whole month of October.
We did.
I saw a lot of shit. We didn't get a chance to record.
Yes, and I saw a lot of stuff too, and most of it unfortunately was not horror. So
Slipping on your pimping. I saw a lot of horror. So a lot of horror. So yeah, this is Get Out the Room, your favorite place for horror and pop culture conversations. I am your host, Day, and as always, I got my man Scott with me. What's going on?
Not much. So if you hear anything in the background, I think it's low enough. I just have Deadpool playing. He's about ready to run someone over with a Zamboni.
Well, as long as the Zamboni is getting busy, getting freaky, then we are in the building.
Right.
So check it out, man. You can find Get Out the Room everywhere good podcasts are found: Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Wicked Radio Network, Listenopoly, everywhere, in your mama house, in your mama drawer, in your mama ears. We out there. Now, she's probably listening to some old shit. Maybe she can listen to some classic shit. I don't know, because we haven't been on this bitch in a while. But
yeah,
we're here now. So let's jump right into it. We can hop into, we're going to do a non-spoilery, but we're going to talk about how happy we are that Stranger Things is back.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
That one was, I think my wife and I binged it over 2 days.
Wow.
That first weekend it was out, yeah. It was the first weekend it actually coincided with the first weekend that we had nothing to do for a little while.
Okay.
We were really busy, and then this weekend just happened to go, oh, Stranger Things is happening. And I think we finished it. I think we did Friday night and Saturday. And then we had a party that Saturday, because we finished it Friday, Saturday, as opposed to Saturday, Sunday. So it was maybe like a day and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys blazed through that.
Absolutely.
We're probably about halfway through.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that I'll say about this particular season that I think is A, incredibly smart, but B, necessary, and C, refreshing as shit to get a little fleshed out background on some of the kids, man. And kind of seeing some of the things that make the kids tick, and you know, the interpersonal relationships between their group. They're not just lovable nerds. They're fucking outcast kids who found each other. They are real friends. They embody real friend dynamics, and I really, really love watching these kids work, man.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think they've taken what they had in the first season now. I liked Stranger Things season one, but I wasn't as obsessed with it as you know, the media was, and a lot of people were,
me,
as rightfully they should. You, I mean,
yeah,
yes, and I enjoyed it though. And then this season, to me, is better. I like it a lot better. I like the characters better. I like the dynamic between the characters better. I like the setting better. I just like everything about it better. And now I get it. I mean, I'm fully into the, yeah, this show's great. I love this show. They've taken almost every character is better this season than they were the season previous. I can't stop saying that. People having watched it so soon, when somebody says, oh, we haven't even started it yet, I just go, yeah, you're fucking up.
Yeah, no, this is a, number one, shit's great. There is a little, you know, little interracial love, not real, but you know they alluded to, you know, there's a lot happening. It's a lot happening. You know, obviously I'm excited about that. And you know, Hopper is kind of a dick, and Winona is still crazy as fuck. But yeah, all good
Hopper's
things.
Hopper's kind of a dick, man. Okay. I mean, I don't know that I don't know that I ever thought that this season.
I absolutely did.
Oh, okay.
You know, there are aspects of watching his whole situation play out where I think of he's, and I know why, I get it, but there are aspects that maybe he could have played a little differently. You know, maybe the next time we come back to this, maybe we'll be able to get into a little bit more, more heavily. But yeah, shit's fucked up. He's the one that's forced to smell it. So
I know what you mean. I guess I just that just never really crossed my mind. I you know, every time I thought I had a complaint about the show, I always would go back and think about it and realize it, I really don't care about it as much as, you know, the complaint went away when I thought about it more, because it's just it's very well made, it's very well written, very well acted, and they do some they do some world building in it, and I appreciate that. And I think the Duffer Brothers have said they've got 4 seasons total, maybe 4 or 5 seasons of this plan. So
yeah, I mean the way they're moving and the depth they're adding to the story, like they've already gone so much further in this season with so much more depth so quickly. You know, I'm really excited to see where they go. The Nancy relationship aspect, all that kind of shit. Like, it's really, really good stuff. Really, really well done. They didn't placate to the crowd either. They just made their show, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree.
They play with some new themes. The music once again popping, always right. The set pieces, you know, impeccable. Tab out the door. The fact that there was Tab and they had the real cans, great. You know, all that's just dope, man. They just do great work.
Yeah, well, yes. And all it does to me is prove how much better it is to watch a show like that as opposed to The Walking Dead.
Yeah, let's just get into that while we're here. The Walking Dead is limping. It is fucking limping at this point. And, you know, one of the things that I was reading an article about this shit earlier, and it kind of perfectly encapsulated all the things that I think everyone who has watched and is currently jumping ship like a sinking ship full of rats, like motherfuckers are just bailing on this show because nothing happens unless it's a finale or a premiere.
Yeah.
And everything in between, just exposition.
Well, the story they're adapting in the comic is this way too. So, you know, it's, I'm a proponent that, you know, I like the comic much more, and I still do, but this portion of the comic you would suspect would be outstanding, and they're playing it out not the same way as a comic, but it plays out in this length of time. I think the Savior War takes about 15 issues, which is over a year of story for The Walking Dead, and it just drags, and that's kind of a shame because, you know, Negan's an interesting character, and he's got there's some interesting dynamics that are going on, but it just, I mean, what episode are we on now? 5, 6, and they're still on the same story that they opened the season on.
Yeah,
and I don't know, we're running thin, and we haven't even seen all of the main characters yet. I don't think we've seen those garbage people yet. I think they promoted the leader to a series regular. She hasn't even appeared yet on the show.
She'll be back. Yeah.
She'll
probably play larger.
I think she's in the preview for the next episode.
Yeah, she'll probably play larger moving into the finale. But, you know, this is one of the weird things about this show, that some of the best episodes happen where nothing of consequence happens, so to speak. The biggest loss this whole season is Shiva, and she's a CGI fucking tiger. And the name of the episode of some guy, we broke King Ezekiel. You know, we had a dude that everybody loved, everybody knew that the whole thing was a goddamn act, but we broke it, and it's gone now. And he's just some guy. And in the process, if you're familiar with the comic, you knew it was coming. You knew it was about to play out. You knew Cap was going to get his asshole ate. But when it happened, there was still dramatic tones to it. There was still shit that, you know, made that moment have some part of impact.
One of the reasons why Ezekiel worked was because he was so over the top and he knew it.
Yeah.
So that when you bring a character like that back down to earth, maybe on paper it sounded good, but you know, when you actually read it and then watch it, you're like, I mean, you're kind of missing the purpose of this guy. I remember when they first introduced him in the comic, you know, your first thought seeing the cover, because I think he was on the cover with Shiva in the first issue he was in.
Yeah.
And you think, what in the world are they getting into now? But then you get it. Like, he's just a cool character because he's unique. And the show, most of the characters are realistic-ish, but that's why we love Michonne. This is a samurai who was introduced with pet zombies. You know, the governor was interesting because he kept zombie heads and his dead daughter locked in his room. Negan's interesting because he has a seemingly sexual relationship with his barbed wire bat. And he's psycho and he cusses every other word. And so a little bit of the over, we like that. So Ezekiel fit that premise the same type of way. And it you know it's coming, just like you said, but it still is like, damn. I mean, you know, where's this going to lead? Because everything around him is still stagnant.
Yeah, man, and one of the biggest things about moving forward here is, and you talked about this before, how the last episode did a great job of humanizing Negan, who for the past, 18 episodes has been a walking, talking caricature, and they found a way to humanize him, but, you know, 30% of their planned audience didn't see it. Because go ahead.
Yep, you're right. Well, I was just going to, that scene's probably my favorite scene of this season so far. Negan and Gabriel have a moment where Gabriel's trying to get a confession out of him, and he does give Gabriel a confession that as comic fans, we know is true, but it also plays true on TV as well. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan did a great job of portraying that and really making Negan for the first time, you go, I get it. And this is a character who, you know, in his first episode, they drag out over a season finale and a season premiere, and that's his shtick. And they even filmed another scene of him like he was in the comic book. And it's just, he drags thin. The Negan character drags thin. It's like Robert Kirkman was trying to forgive himself for killing the governor and then creating a guy that's so much more ridiculous on top of that.
He is. And
I won't spoil anything, but where the story goes after the Savior War, you would think the Savior War would be incredible, but where it goes after is much better. So the lull in the comics, I had a feeling this would come because I felt that way in the comic book, where I lost a little interest during this time, just saying, you know, it's the same shit. You know, every issue is the same battle, but from a different point of view. Like, you don't care about every single character. You don't have to care about all of them. And there's just too many.
Well, because we know none of them are going to die.
And there's the other problem.
Rick, yep. Daryl, Carl, Michonne, none of them are going to die. Just not going to die. Right, and at this point, Maggie's not dying either. So
correct.
You know, if
no Maggie's on that list, she's not dying.
Yeah. So if these motherfuckers are untouchable and unkillable, then there's literally no drama to the majority of this show, because most of the people that you give a shit about, they're not in harm's way. They're not in danger.
Right.
You know.
There are things they could do to catch up to the comics in terms of brutality and shocking events, but at this point, I don't know that they have the balls to do it, quite frankly.
Yeah, I don't think so. And that's okay. So, look, they have an entire formula that has worked out super well. We talk about them losing 30% of their audience, it's still the most watched show on TV in that type of demographic. So, whatever. The next big piece, though, is we got to do something soon or motherfuckers are really going to jump ship. But,
yep. You know. But like I said, I do where I think the season is going, I think they're going to end the Savior War by the winter finale.
Hopefully. Needs to happen soon.
And because I think they're going to do a, I mean, keep in mind, this is still just the opening battle of it, which I think they need a time jump of some sort and to resolve it very quickly. And then I think they can maybe go back to what they hinted on with the future Rick in the first episode.
Yep.
And then I think the final episode is going to touch on a story that is much better than The Savior.
Well, it's a lot more interesting. It's scary. Yeah. You know, the Saviors are a group of people that are really only interesting for about 8 episodes. Anything past that, you know, you've stretched out all of their usefulness. You've introduced a ton of characters from a lot of different places. At some point, you just got to move forward. You've been spinning your wheels for now. Let's move on.
Yeah.
American Horror Story just wrapped up its latest season, Cult. You didn't see any of this.
And I did not, no.
It was really quite good. Evan Peters did a great job of being what is, I guess, kind of a Trump, you know, drain the swamp, burn the system on steroids and amphetamines and everything. Like, it's be like this is a dream gone way, 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 way far. And everything else was, you know, it's weird because you play some characters in situations that you wouldn't normally see them in, but they're really, really well done. And it was fun. It didn't have kind of the aspect of the horror aesthetic, so to speak, but there was gore. And people got their shit cut off, or they got completely fucked up in really demented ass ways. So, you know, you got your horror fill.
Right.
It just played out in a lot different way than I think a lot of people thought it would. And I liked it. I thought it was a good season.
But I mean, American Horror Stories tend to do that, though, don't they? They play out differently than what you think they are based on the premise, and they do a good job doing that.
It depends, because some of the seasons, the aesthetic is so heavy, they don't have a choice. Like
right.
Carnival. Carnival's fucked up. You know, Carnival was really fucked up.
Oh, the freak show.
Yeah. Yeah, Carnival.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's just so much there. That one got really, really convoluted really fast.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. There's a lot going on in there. But it's good. It's entertaining. It's fun.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, if you missed all episodes, I wouldn't tell you to go back and binge through it, but it's good.
Okay.
Stan vs. Evil is back, which is kind of a Ash vs. the Evil Dead ripoff.
I don't even know what that is.
IFC's version of Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Who
with,
is it?
Who's John that? McKinley.
Okay, I do know. I have seen that, yep.
And, you know, he's roughly this same guy who was on Scrubs, just fighting demons and zombies. So.
And he kind of looks like a Bruce Campbell ripoff, too.
Look, if that whole thing is your bag, you're gonna lot it. You're gonna get a lot of it, and you're gonna enjoy it, and that's cool. So I think it's cool. Not great all the time, but cool.
Huh.
What else? I think that's it for TV right now. You wanna hop into some of these movies?
Yeah, just start. We could do a. Just, I feel like we're gonna do that. Mark Wahlberg, Ted. Speed round and just start going off on.
We got to go fast because neither of us saw any of the same movies.
That's true.
I'll start with which was a pretty big film, but turned out to be a pretty big flop. And Flatliners.
Yeah, I passed on that.
Yeah, it was If you saw the original, it was very similar to that. This is just updated and a little freakier, a little scarier, but for the most part, it cops out. It has the opportunity to go pretty far, but it cops out towards the end. So, you're left with a warm fuzzy.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the slashes?
Probably six.
Okay.
Yeah. Six and a half at most. There are aspects to it that are great. There's a cameo in there that makes it super cool at the time, but when you take a step back from it and you haven't seen the movie in a while, it's like, yeah, I shouldn't add anything. Literally, like, if you're not in a theater watching, you're like, oh, okay.
Gotcha. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I'll probably skip it.
I remember when that dropped. I was just gonna say I probably won't see that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the first one's only, it's only okay to me, so.
Yeah. I think the idea is very cool.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think there's also a lot to unpack if you really get into it. This is different though, so this is a little bit more straightforward.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. Six out of six and a half. All right.
Yeah. It's not terrible.
Right.
Well, it's not terrible at all. You can watch it. I definitely say go ahead and check it out.
Okay.
So, what did you see next?
Well, the one that I recently saw was Jigsaw. My brother and I have watched all the Saw movies in the theater, and it's fitting that we go 10 years after we saw the last one to go see this as well. And it's more of the same of the Saw sequels. However, I will say that the Saw movies became the ultra-violent, show everything, gross to watch, torture porn, and the traps are back here, but they don't show near as much violence, which I do like. They don't need to show everything like they have in those sequels. And this movie just doesn't go the extra distance to do that. Now there is gore and there are scenes where you'll look away, but it's not as blatant as some of the Saw sequels were.
Did the pieces come together?
It's another movie. It's another movie that ties back into the Saw story about John Kramer and everything. So, I mean, it's just more of the same. I mean, it's kind of like you remember when Scream 4 came out, and it was just the same fucking movie just years later. It's that way. That's
Okay.
exactly how it is.
Yeah, I mean,
So.
I get that. What'd you say? It's a cut above the other ones?
It's definitely not a cut above the other ones. I would go the only one I absolutely love to death is the original. The second one's actually not bad either, but then they all start running together for me, and this one's a 5 out of 10. I mean, it's if you like the Saw movies, you got to see it for completionist's sake, but it's just, I don't know. Doesn't do much for me. I like that they tone stuff down.
Yeah.
That's something that I think they can maybe, if and when they make another one. I don't even know what kind of money this made. Here, let me go to the stats line. We'll do some stats for
Yeah.
Flatliners and Jigsaw here.
The do stats for Flatliners and Jigsaw.
All right. Let's see. Let's see. Every time I touch my screen, I'm doing this, it's making a little. Now, I will say, I think Flatliners got critically shit on.
Yeah.
Let's see. Budget for Flatliners was 19 million. and it made 33.6.
Yep. So they made their money back, and you know, even if people said it was a terrible movie, it's still somewhat of a box office success.
Rotten Tomatoes got a 5%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Where that's epic bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's Smiley level bad.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Well.
So, let's go to Jigsaw.
Yep.
Jigsaw. And here, I'll get back to that in a minute. Budget, $10 million. Box office,
$90 million. Ooh. Wow. The brand is still very strong, apparently.
Yes, it is. And it got a 32% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, no one knew that. No one thought that was going to be good.
So... No, I mean, but all of the... I think all of the sequels have gotten shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, but, critically, they get killed outside of the fan vote.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not going to stop people from spending money on it. Right. So what slashes did you get for this one?
Well, before I go into the Jigsaw, I knew from the start there was one thing that made me nervous about it, outside of it being the 8 Saw movie. The directors are the Spirit Brothers, and they're responsible for one of the worst, not just worst horror movies, but worst movies I've ever seen.
Which is?
It's called Undead.
Okay.
And it's got, the cover of it has a girl in a gas mask holding a triple barrel shotgun.
Oh.
And
that's aggressive.
I remember it was one of the final, like, video store movies that my brother and I just got based on the cover. And I think we just saw, like, you know, gas mask with this big gun. I'm like, oh, that looks cool. And it's called Undead. That's got to be good. The guy at the record or the video store said, yeah, check this out. It's awful.
It's check awful. It out. It's terrible.
Oh, my. No. I don't even know that it's so good it's bad. I want it to be.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a scene of a dude, like, the badass in the movie is like a farmer wearing, he's like a chubby farmer wearing overalls and a straw hat, and he flips around and, you know, he has all these guns, and I mean, it's just ridiculous. He punches zombie fish out of his boat. Like, I mean, it's just bad stuff.
It sounds pretty entertaining.
So that I went in knowing that they're the ones that were responsible for this Jigsaw movie, and that certainly didn't help.
Yeah. And did they live up to all of the terrible and glorious hype?
I go 5 out of 10 is what it gets at best.
This is not a good movie.
No.
Okay.
But 5 out of 10.
No. But like, no. If you're a fan of Saw, you'll still see it. But that doesn't mean it's a good film.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, there that is.
It's just for Saw fans, and if you've seen them all.
Yeah. Like, keep your streak alive to keep rolling, but otherwise, skip it.
Right.
All right. What's next up? Oh, I caught the Netflix film with Samara Weaving, who is Hugo Weaving's, I think it's his daughter, called The Babysitter. Way fun. Really, really fun film. Drags a little bit, but for the most part, it's a really, really cool little film. You know, the little class nerd has a smoking hot babysitter, but he's like 16. He's like 15 or 16. He has his babysitter. His parents go out of town, and he's supposed to be hanging out with the babysitter, and he wakes up in the middle of you know, the supposed bloodletting of the virgin. So then he has to survive the night because they're trying to kill him, and, you know, shenanigans ensue.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's this getting slash wise?
Possibly like a 7.
Oh, okay.
Like maybe 7, 7.5. It's a really fun film. There are some some legitimate laughs and some things. I mean, these are definitely things that if you watch, you'd be like, wow, I didn't see that coming. So, yeah, Babysitter's was pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Definitely more fun than what you think it is going in. And there's a little bit more to it than what, like, when you give credit to when you first see it also. So, I think it's a little bit more surprising than anything else.
Cool.
We both saw some of Cult of Chucky.
Yes, I will say that's kind of one of my guilty pleasures.
You
I
are a
like
Chucky fan.
Curse. I did like Curse of Chucky, the seventh movie, quite a bit. I thought it was
You said
actually
the
pretty good.
seventh movie?
Yes, this is
Jesus
the
Christ.
eighth movie.
Okay.
Or
The.
no, I'm sorry. This is the seventh. The last one was the sixth.
Okay. All
Excuse me.
right.
Hold on, Babysitter. You said that was Netflix, so there's no stats really. Maybe just let's see. Yeah, they don't even have a budget here.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think they would have a ton on there.
71% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, I'm telling you, it's a fun film, man. It's definitely going to give you more than what you're bargaining, like what you think going into it. So,
Right. Okay.
yeah, I would definitely say check that out.
But back to the so Curse of Chucky, the sixth movie, I actually enjoyed. In fact, I think it's the best Child's Play movie since the first one. It's the best sequel.
Wow. Okay.
I actually think that's a pretty popular opinion amongst
Chucky
the
fans.
stick with the yeah, I mean amongst slasher fans even that Curse of Chucky is it's a good movie. I would recommend it. I think you could even probably just watch the first and this one or that one and be okay. But this new one, from what I saw, I think it was okay. They still have the animatronic stuff down, which still looks cool. It's dated, but it has a good vintage, oh, that's Chucky feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
I mean, and they got Brad Dourif to do it again. I mean, I gotta give him credit. They keep bringing him back, and he's still great as the voice of Chucky, so.
Look, he's gonna cash the checks as long as the checks keep coming, bruh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, and it's nice. Well, it's nicer than Doug Bradley saying no to Pinhead, or, I mean, you know
Yeah.
what I mean?
Doug Bradley thinking that he's too big to play Pinhead. He's too good of an actor.
It's just, I don't know. So, from what I saw, I think it was going down the direction, and I haven't read anything about it because I kind of still want to watch it. I think it was going in the direction of multiple dolls, I think is
Yeah.
where I didn't stop before they, I think right as they were hinting towards that. So I didn't watch, but 20, 30 minutes of it, maybe not even that much.
Okay. Well, they start to show up absolutely. So this is Chucky. A little misdirection, a little now you see me, now you don't. A little oh, it couldn't be the doll. You're crazy. It's not really a doll. In a world where everybody knows that the doll is has it kill people, it's very strange to me that nobody believes that the doll's doing it.
Right.
So I just think that shit's fucking dumb. But
Well, they already have a sequel being discussed.
Well, that shit got a ton of pub. I want to say it got released on like three different platforms on the same day. Like it came.
16 reviews, 81%.
Wow, that's crazy.
I told you, man, that since Don Mancini changed it back from being a pure, bride and see the Chucky, a terrible, terrible
Okay.
movie.
The ones with Jennifer Tilly?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the one I like, and then this one's been getting good word of mouth. So I get it. I mean, Chucky's an interesting, it's an interesting story. Now I understand the shtick runs dry, but look, it's still fun to see a doll scare the shit out of people and kill people because they don't make it as much about him doing it with like a knife or a traditional weapon. He's doing it creatively. There's a good scene in Curse of Chucky that has incredible tension in it, and you don't see it's too good to be in a killer doll movie, but it is, and it works very well. So
Okay. All right.
I would recommend Curse of Chucky. This one I can't call yet.
You gotta finish it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You did not see Happy Death Day.
I did not. This is one you've been trying to get me to watch. I think you're curious to see what I would think about it.
Happy Death Day's fun, man. It's fun. Plain and simple. It's just fun. It is.
Okay. Groundhog Day for horror movies?
So in the first five iterations, yeah, it's Groundhog Day. But then there are some consequences. There are some things that happen that kind of change your perception on it. And where it ends up at the end, absolutely is, you know, yes. I think you'd appreciate the ride.
Oh, really? So the ending is a good one.
I wouldn't necessarily say a good ending. It's just, it's an ending that just, you know, leaves you thinking. So I'm happy with it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what the slashes. What would you give the slashes?
7.5.
Wow. Okay. So, okay. You share.
Yeah.
This one's, good old Blumhouse budget, $4.8 million.
There you go.
Box office, 99.
Yep.
So,
yep.
There is a sequel that has been asked of the director, and he said it would focus on why the time loop happened. So, that is one I think I'll be checking out there.
Yeah, I think you should check it out. It's definitely worth seeing.
Gotcha. All right. Excellent.
All right. Lastly, did you see anything else?
Gerald's Game.
Yep. I thought we talked about that the last film, didn't we? Or the last time we talked about it.
And it's been
so long. Yeah,
I think we did do Gerald's Game, you're right.
Okay. I finished Mayhem.
Okay. So no spoilers on this, because this one I definitely want to watch.
You never saw Belko, right?
I have not. That's another one on my short list.
Super simple. It's very similar to Belko. It just has a little bit more direction.
So it's better. It's better than Belko.
Yeah, it's better. Not by much, because it's very similar. Samara Weaving is in that as well, which I thought was hilarious, because now all of a sudden I'm seeing her and everything, and like, oh wow, you're in that too. You're in that too. So this is her time to shine. Tall, blonde, Australian actress. People love those.
Right. So how does Glenn fare?
So there are aspects of the character he plays where you're like, oh, look, it's Glenn. And then somewhere along the line, you just kind of let him cook.
Okay.
So. Yeah. But yeah, Mayhem's cool. I would probably give Mayhem a 6.5, though.
Oh, okay.
Maybe even a 6. Super predictable. Like, you'll know point A, B, and D. The only thing is C, and you may not even give a shit how we get to C. So. Pretty formulaic, pretty run-of-the-mill.
Gotcha.
Yep. Let's see, what else? Anything else?
I don't know.
All right, well, let me recount my trip to Hollywood Horror Nights in Universal Studio while I was in Orlando.
Oh, yes.
So I went to, which is roughly one of the most award-winning Horror Nights haunted house festivals in the entire country, is at Universal Studios in Orlando. And let me tell you, man, they do everything right. If you're not really sure what you're getting into, because they don't really show a lot of photography, and I was on a family vacation with the kids, I didn't really have time to do my research like I like to. But my brother-in-law and I are walking down the middle of this street, which, the family and I had done Universal earlier in the day. So this street was leading to the Minions ride. And all of a sudden, a girl with the Saw head contraption from
Yeah.
like the first two films walks right by us. Completely jarring. Because you just walked into the park, you've had this experience in this part of the park the entire day, and now all of a sudden you see fucking Saw torture contraptions like right in your face. That set the tone for the rest of the night. It was really, really cool. Incredibly well done, well organized. The only thing was some of the waiting times for the haunted houses were a little crazy. 70 minutes for the Bloom House one. 70 minutes for some of the other just well-known ones. Like we never even got it back around to the Purge, or did we? I think we did. I think they added the Purge into some of the Bloom House ones, but we like a lot of them we didn't really get a chance to go to. I think we only ended up going to three. We saw Ash vs. the Evil Dead, the Bloom House one, and the Reaping. These are top-notch haunted houses. They miss no detail, man. And they play with levels. After a while, you always know that someone's going to jump out from you at a particular level. So you can kind of prepare yourself and you don't it doesn't scare you as much. These motherfuckers have taken that shit to effect. They're using mirrors against you, high and low, and people swiping at your feet, or like above where your normal field of vision is, the strobes to disorient you. You go through the little curtains, and then this motherfucker's jumping at you. Like, oh, I had to pull one back one time because dude got real close. And I'm not a scary type of motherfucker where, shit scares me, but goddamn, between the strobes, the curtains and this motherfucker was too close. I had to pull a punch, like, oh shit. And I like almost let it fly, but I caught it the last second and brought it back. And they have good drink specials, so we were drunk and we had a great time. And but the haunted houses weren't even the highlight of my whole night, man. They had these fucking crazy killer dressed up clowns who scare people on the street with these loud ass chainsaws. So if you're on your phone, not really paying attention, they will just run up on you and rev these chainsaws loud as fuck right behind you. And they just got people all night long. All night long. At one point, my brother-in-law and I are coming back from, I think, Ash vs. the Evil Dead. The haunted house caught on fire and broke down, and they ended up having to shut the haunted house down in the middle of us waiting. Good thing for us, it cleared out everybody else who was in line. So next thing you know, it's now the wait was 20 minutes, but because of shit shut down, it turned into more like 45, 50 minutes. But we walked right in there and we're coming out, and there's this long road to get you back towards A, where the bar is, B, where some of the more the haunted houses are, and we just see like 30. 25, 30 clowns come out of this little trap door. And they're in, all different shapes, sizes, makeups, masks, the whole deal. And then we see one dude who doesn't have any legs. He's in a wheelchair dressed up as a clown with a fucking chainsaw. It was fucking terrifying. Just that is terrifying. And
It
then they
sounds.
basically do a call and response to all of the clowns. They're all in one big ass circle, one dude in the middle getting people hype. And then at the end of the street says, "Light 'em up!" And they all rev at the same time and go running after people. It is reminiscent of Leatherface's chainsaw dance.
Oh, wow.
It is
That's cool.
absolutely fantastic. I took a video of it. I want to post it so people see it. It's like 1 minute and 40 seconds
Yes, post.
because I saw all of it, and it was just really fucking cool. But you have to not listen to my commentary of because I'm drunk as shit at this point. I am backing into people because the chainsaws got really close. But man, it was a lot of fucking fun. The trick or treat portion, so they have different movies where they would do stuff, and trick or treat, they had Sam, the kid with the pumpkin head. They had the squashed up pumpkin head. They had the one with the burlap sack. They had all that shit. It was really well done, and I mean they got it all right.
Huh.
Yeah.
That sounds That's interesting.
I think there was an Exorcist house that we didn't get a chance to go to. Everybody was in there. Obviously, the Saw part. There were a lot of houses towards the opening part that we didn't get a chance to go to because we were so far in the back. All the rides were open. So Men in Black's open. Krusty Land from The Simpsons is open. If you don't feel like doing horse shit, you can do the regular Universal rides, which I found hilarious. The Harry Potter shit was closed down, Diagon Alley, but everything else was open and you just go in there and have a great time.
Okay.
Yeah. If you were ever in Orlando, anytime after like September 14th through Halloween, it's like $50 a ticket to get in. I will tell you, spend the money on the Fast Pass if you can, because it'll allow you to see three or four extra haunted houses. Because the wait time for the Fast Pass was like 10 minutes each time out, opposed to 50 to an hour to 70 minutes waiting on a haunted house.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you want to get, maximize your experience, go ahead and spend the extra dough. It'll be completely worth it. Yeah. But we had a lot of fun. It was a great time. Atmosphere was great. People were super nice and friendly. Even the clowns would break character every once in a while and fuck with you, which I like. So I thought it was cool.
That is cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, but some of these motherfuckers look like they were through. They said they've been doing this shit every night for 45 nights, so they were done by the time we got there. But they gave us work like it was their first day. So shout out to the staff, man. They did an incredible job. But yeah, if you're ever in Orlando, please go. This shit's too good. Or even, I'm sure the one out in LA is even better. So.
I've been wanting to do that for a really long time. I read about them every year, and it always looks really great.
Take that however you want. You should go. All I'm gonna tell you, if there's ever an opportunity to go to one, if it's close enough to you where you can have a good time and don't have to kill yourself doing it, please do it. The haunted houses were like nothing I had ever been a part of. I don't get scary, and like I don't get scared. And there were times where I'm doing the quick walk to get through because motherfuckers are jumping at me, and the strobes are hitting you, and they're getting close to touching you. There's a lot going on. So yeah, I would definitely say do that.
Okay.
Yeah. As of right now, I think that's it. We're gonna get in and get out of here pretty quickly, and next episode, we're gonna cover Thor, Justice League. So, y'all buckle in. Y'all know how we get on these comic books. It'll be much longer episodes than this one.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, anything else before we get out of here?
No, I don't think
Cool story, bro.
so.
Yeah. Other than that, man, everything else cool. We appreciate y'all. Once again, you can find Get Out the Room at Podomatic, Stitcher Radio. You can find pretty much anywhere good podcasts are found. And we would like for you to find us. You can catch us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. We always appreciate those. And yeah, I'm your host, Day. You can catch me at DAE021 or at Get Out the Room. And Scott, you are at.
Email
Yep, but he don't tweet, so it don't matter.
Yeah, we should run like a special, like I'll send you something if you ever, or the somebody calling me out on Twitter. It's like
Yeah.
finding gold at the end of the rainbow when I get in a Twitter mood.
Yeah, we'll send you something. We'll send you a fucking Yeti or something. I don't know. With a Get Out the Room sticker. A goddamn Yeti. But, hey man, thanks for staying up with me. I know it's been a while. Hopefully, I'll get this shit up soon. Listeners, thanks thank you, thank you, thank you for being patient with us. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. Hopefully we get a couple more shows in for the end of the year. Yeah.
I mean, I think at the beginning of the year, we were doing, I was like, man, we're getting to 100 this year. Man, we haven't even gotten to 90. There's no way we'll get to 90.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. We'll see. Real tough. Yeah. So, Scott, appreciate you, man. I will, and listeners, we'll catch y'all next time.
Peace. Yeah. Peace.